to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And if you bring him to remembrance of that, okay. So, I guess I'm getting to the point where I want to know how, you know what I'm saying, except for the philosophy and the teachings, the presence of God is not always miraculously given to somebody who's heartbroken or hurting.
The moment you find peace with God is when you say, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. That is the moment when you can finally acknowledge that, because no one wants to say that they're a sinner. No one wants to. Everyone thinks I'm not as bad as the other guy next to me. But that's the moment where people find true peace with God, is that they see Jesus as the only one to forgive them of their sins and be perfect for them when they can't be perfect. You know, that's huge. And, you know, the kids that come into foster care, and even those probably that my wife has seen, you know, when people say they have no hope, I think being told that there's a place in heaven for you, there's a place of eternity, there's a place where there's no more pain, sorrow, tears, and no more sin.
Okay, I'll say that. Someone said this last night.
Yeah.
And this lady said, until you are hopeless, you are in fact hopeless. Until you're hopeless, you're hopeless. In other words, as long as you think you can fix it, as long as you think you're sitting on the throne. And if you're wondering what the ambient noise is, it's Robert and his sister, and that's okay. So we embrace the ambient noise today. What are you doing, Robert? What are you up to? He's taking that apart and checking it out.
He's a future engineer.
Yeah, maybe. How old is he? Five.
He's five.
So about buying that. Now I'm jumping around. Forgive me, but so if I had a child, and I don't. I wish I had children. So you have to see that and then make note of that and then make sure you buy him toys that he can pull apart and put back together,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. If you're going to cultivate that. They sit telltale signs. I have a friend of mine. He sat right where you are. He's a famous dentist in town, Dr. Plains. And he sat here and Freud, who was Freud's associate there, the other guy? Symbols and stuff.
Sigmund Freud and...
Sigmund Freud, the other guy. Well, it doesn't really matter, but he said, if you look at your childhood, you'll see your adulthood. Well, when I was 8 or 9, just a little bit older than him, I used to go up to my attic and I would pretend I was on the radio, okay? And Carl Jung. Carl Jung. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Noah. And so, you know, so he came in here and he said he had pulled... I said, I bet you were thinking about being a dentist when you were a kid. He goes, when I was 8, I pulled the tooth of my friends. Bad tooth.
Yeah. That's tooth. So neat.
So Wintley Phipps, you know who he is, the black gospel singer? He's very famous, you know, black gospel. He sang for every White House since Reagan. Well, he lives in town here, and he's friends with Oprah and travels around the world. Well, he travels every week to a different nation. He's always around the world, which I'm not going to say to him, but that's not my idea of a great lifestyle. But he's doing it for the Lord. He dedicated his voice to the Lord. So he said when he was a little boy, 8 or 9, he took his red wagon and turned it on its side and then took the wheels and started to turn the wheels, pretending that he was flying from country to country.
Mm-hmm.
So children, they seem to be, if you watch for the telltale signs, you know, does she have any telltale signs yet?
Oh,
Chloe?
She's a great singer, I'll tell you that.
Yes.
She's doing wonderful with writing.
Her memory is insane. It's amazing.
Yeah. Really?
She remembers. Both kids have their strengths, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, and Robert, he always likes to, as you can see with this water bottle, take things apart and put them back together.
You know, she's sitting here very quietly. Women, they say, girls are more capable of hypothetical, theoretical information. A boy, if you tell him, here's what an inch is, and you tell her, she'll learn, okay, this is an inch and this is a foot. He goes, why do I want to learn what an inch is? I don't care about an inch or a foot or anything. He's not going to learn. But if we said to him, hey, Robert, we're going to go outside and build a little table. Well, we are. Now, in order to cut this wood, we've got to learn what an inch. What's an inch? What's an inch? What's a foot? What's a foot? He wants to know, because he's going to apply it relationally.
Yeah.
Isn't that ironic that we consider women to be more relational, yet women are more capable of hypothetical, theoretical information, and boys need practical connection? I mean, you know, it's just, you can't, it baffles me.
Goes
you
back
really
to the
can't
garden.
Put a finger on God, can you?
Right, yeah.
I mean, you say that we're brought up thinking that men are in charge. Well, men are not in charge. My mother always said the woman is, this wasn't saying that women are in charge, but she said the woman is the center of the household. Now, as an older guy, I just turned 70, about 48 hours ago, I have learned the woman sets the pace, and you need to learn this already. She sets the pace of the household. You're on the exterior. You're going to fight the world, you know,
sure.
And you're going to have the bravado to keep your family safe. You're going to be the breadwinner, you know, go out and hunt and, what is it called, hunt, you know, seek and hunt or whatever they
sure.
say. And so do you see that early on, that the woman sets the pace of the household, which is inverted to what we're told? Oh, well, we're in charge. Well, we're not in charge.
Well, it's the difference between what we call an egalitarian society and a complementarian society.
Egalitarian. I've heard
the word before. Meaning that men and women are equal in all things equally, which is
not
just
true.
Not true.
No.
This is why we have big debates over trans culture and athletes. This is where we see people thinking that the roles of men and women should be the exact same. Whereas complementarian is saying that, no, it's that men and women are equal in value, different in roles.
Very good. Equal in value. Hold on, I'll write that.
Yeah.
Equal in value. Okay, so equal in value,
mm-hmm.
different in roles. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm thankful as a wife to not be the final decision maker. I take comfort in that.
But God put that in you. Because it says that ultimately a woman is to defer, prefer, acknowledge, admire her husband. He is to love her. If you know that he's willing to die for you, which he should as Christ died for the church, then you are without any pause, you're willing to listen to his ultimate decision. Mm-hmm. So, and that turns a lot of people off in today's society, that men have the shoulders to make the final decision and also bear the burden of that decision. Mm.
There's a writer, Tim Challies. He writes a ton of things online, Christian writer, and he has this funny anecdotal story about this kind of thing, and that is, imagine a husband and wife sleeping in their house up on the second floor, and on night one, he hears a bang near the window, goes downstairs, checks it out, and doesn't see anyone there, and then he goes back to bed. And in the egalitarian society, where we're going to say that, well, women just do the same thing men do. So the next night, they hear a glass break. And the husband in the bed looks over to his wife and says, well, since it's an egalitarian relationship, honey, I went down last night to see if it's safe. It's your turn tonight. Could you imagine if that's how we're to treat our wives? Like, all right, it's your turn, so you now do this. No, the man should be the protector of the family, the provider, and the responsibility, even if he delegates responsibility out for the kids to keep the house clean, the wife to help out with the home, the responsibility, though, should fall on me or the husband. The responsibility at the end of the day, I want to take the bullet.
The buck has to stop somewhere.
Yes.
You know what I just heard? I was watching, you know, you travel around the internet. I don't know if you do, I do. I'm all over the place with YouTube and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I ran into these women. A couple of them are famous, married to some famous pastors or something. But anyway, it was all women. And I was, you know, I don't know if it was when I had this flu and I'm going around kind of, I can't remember where it was, but I would like you to investigate this. And she said that it was revealed to her, if you take the word that God uses for his love and guidance for us is the same one he gives to women. So women have this godly love and an influence. Women want to be generally the male's helper, just as he sends the Holy Spirit to be a helper.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly doesn't mean the helper is inferior in any way, shape, or form, but it is a gifting. Isn't that amazing? So the same love that he has for man and helping man, he gives to the woman to help man.
And this is what we see.
I wish I had recorded that or knew what exactly, I could pin it down. But.
Back to the Garden of Eden, you know, God said it's not good for man to be alone, right? And so he made from man woman. And Jesus mentioned the same exact story when he was approached by the Pharisees. This is why we've got an entire chapter, Proverbs 31, dedicated to the godliness of the woman who works in the city, takes care of the home, and speaks nicely of her husband at the gates.
But it's also let's pretend you weren't a pastor right now.
Mm-hmm.
I tell this to guys, my friends, And some of the professionals, I said, you know, are you bringing the family to church? Because if you're not, you are called first and foremost not to be a provider, but to be the priest of the household.
Sure.
And so their spiritual development falls on your shoulders.
Yes,
am I right?
100%. Yeah.
And
when we flip-flop these roles, it can bring up some challenges, too. So I did want to mention one thing, because we start off one thing in foster care. There you go. Nice red toy. But one of the things that we're seeing now... is the need for more churches locally to get involved in foster care. Do you know how many foster children there are in the system on any one given day?
Yeah. How many?
There's about 350,000 kids in foster care. And do you know how many?
Right here?
Yeah. And do you know how many Protestant churches there are in the United States alone? It's about 350,000 churches. Now, it kind of sounds nice. Well, what if one church would help and give out one foster family? Then we would have a Christian home for every foster kid in the system. And, of course, we want to... Now, that might resolve an issue for one day, but what about the next day and the next day? But right now, the biggest challenge we have is that there are not enough foster homes open. And we are 20 homes short, and it's just 20. There's about 150 Christian churches in Indian River County. Mm-hmm. And my hope is to talk with each pastor about having four kids be a part of their church program. One is a very faithful group, we have an issue where we need more foster homes.
Yes.
And I think it would be great for the Christian church to lead in that culture. We are, Christ calls us as a church to lead the nations, that the nations would come to us. So I feel like we can impact our city around us. If there's ever going to be change in this system, it's because the church does something about it. So my prayer is for 20 more homes. So for anyone considering foster care, it is worth it. It is worth your effort. It's worth your tears. It's worth your time. And children need a stable home to be a part of.
Do you know Beth? Beth Erickson in town? Beth Erickson, who married, what's her new last name? But anyway, she adopted, matter of fact, it would be great for you guys to meet her. She adopted a little boy and a little girl that were sister and brother. I think he's a little older.
Yeah.
But anyway, like a year or so. But she adopted them both. Now, she was at Thanksgiving dinner, and he wasn't there. I don't know where he is, but they're in their mid-20s now.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.